Would come back again someday. Oh, if back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer is coming is today.
This morning. Isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord today? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Certainly appreciate the word of the Lord. God is certainly mindful of us. And well, just another privilege to be back in the house of God today. It's beautiful Easter resurrection morning. I'm so glad to be part of what God's doing in the earth, aren't you? Aren't you glad to be part of God's economy, what He's doing in the earth today? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, God bless you. It's good to see you in church today. Praise the Lord. Play some more of that, guys, if you will. Sing me the second verse, Brother Harry.
And strife on every hand, and violence fills our land. Still some people down, he'll never come again. But I know this message from God is true. He will redeem his chosen few. Little bride, don't lose hope. For soon Christ Jesus will be saved.
Oh, yes, now signs of the time, they're everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air.
So keep your eyes upon the eastern sky.
Lift up your head. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated this morning while we look at our prayer request. We've got a lot to try to get done today, and we certainly want to give plenty of time to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. Sister Martha Sacker sends us in to please pray for my brother-in-law, Rick Nidifer, who is going to have open heart surgery on Wednesday. Also pray for my sister Becky, who needs surgery also, but had to postpone her surgery because of her husband's. So we want to remember those folks in prayer today. I want to pray for little Lincoln Horniak. He is at home sick this morning, needs a touch from the Lord, so let's remember that need. Brother Carter Lawson says to please pray for my wife. An unspoken prayer request. God knows all about it. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Sandy Arrowood's brother passed away this morning. Please pray for her. So let's remember that prayer request today as we pray. Angel Lashman sends this in. I'm requesting urgent prayer for myself. For the past 2 weeks, demon spirits are tormenting my mind and causing me to have evil thoughts about my baby. I would like to have complete victory and deliverance from this evil spirit and would live to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sister Angelina from Toronto, Canada sends that in, so certainly want to pray for that need today. Sister Margaret Wilkinson sends this in. We've had some recent bad happenings in Kenya, and the terrorists have attacked a university in a remote part of the country that's largely populated by Muslims. A couple of young believers were studying at the institution and are still missing. Kindly join us together with your prayer in praying that they will be found. Also, please join us in praying that the Lord may stay the hand of the terrorist as there are messages going around the city that they are the country that they are planning more attacks. Thank you and may God bless. We just want to commit that to the Lord and ask God to be mindful of that situation. Sister Janet Kennedy says Eugene has been taken to the hospital. He has been in the hospital since last Wednesday. They are moving him tomorrow to a rehab area within the hospital. He could be there for up to 3 months. Please pray for mental strength as well as physical strength. So we want to certainly pray for that need today. Brother King sends this in for Brother Ronnie King. He hurt his back very seriously, so they're asking that we would remember him. Heather Potter sends this in. Please pray for a safe move from Ohio to Tennessee this week for Bonnie Potter and family. So they're asking that we would pray for those folks as well. Sarah Townsend sends this in to please pray for my 12-year-old nephew, Israel Benjamin, who almost died and is in the intensive care unit. They're trying to find out what kind of infection he has. Pray for his parents for strength as well. Please pray for my great nephew James, who is 8 days old, had to be taken to the hospital this morning. Satan is coming against our family in so many ways, but I know God has it all in control. Thank you for your prayers, and may God bless each of you. So we certainly pray for that need today. I want to pray for a lady in Phoenix City, Alabama, for a quick recovery after surgery. Joseph Rigsby sends that in, so let's remember that need today. Derek and Bonnie Butt sends this in. I would like to have you pray for my mother. She was taken to the hospital last night with pains in her chest. The doctors think that she has COPD, a progressive lung disease, which makes it difficult to breathe. Please pray that God will touch her and make her well. God bless you. So we certainly commit that to the Lord today. I want to pray for Wesley Culbertson. He was in an automobile accident this morning and is in surgery. He is related to Sister Brenda Jones from Virginia, so we certainly pray for that need today. Then we have this testimony. Brother Lee Walmsley sends this in. I want to praise the Lord. He's the brother that came up and was prayed for last night. Brother Lee, raise your hand so that people may... Right back here he is, this gentleman right back here. He was suffering from I'm not even going to try to pronounce that word, but a rapid, irregular heartbeat. Could hardly walk from one room to the other. After prayer last night, I parked on the hill and walked down to the church without any distress. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Thank God. And some more good news this morning. We received news that 33 were baptized at the Louisiana Youth Camp last night. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, God is certainly mindful of us, isn't he? Do you love him with all your heart? Let's stand this morning, Brother Daniel Nunn, if you'd come, lead us to the Lord. Let's just invite His presence into this service and ask God to have His divine will on all these prayer requests. We know He's in control of every situation, right? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Amen.
Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him today.
Amen. Good to be in church this Easter morning. I was looking at something that the fifth church age messenger said to his wife one time. For family devotions, Martin Luther read the account of Abraham offering Isaac on the altar in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. His wife, Katie, said, "I do not believe it. God wouldn't have treated His son like that." But Katie Luther replied, "He did." Aren't you glad that God gave His son to go to an old rugged cross and pay that price for you and I? Amen. You know, without a resurrection, without Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be no need for us to be at church this morning. Amen. We'd be worshiping in vain. But I'm so thankful that He made that supreme sacrifice. Let's pray over these requests. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be in church on this Easter morning. Oh God, to know that You went to an old rugged cross, that You suffered and bled and died. And God, as Brother David said last night about the tomb, how that the stone was roll away, not for Jesus to get out, but so we could look in and see an empty tomb. And Lord, You say in Your word, because I live, You shall live also. What a promise. Oh God, we got so many things to look forward to. For God, we've already read the back pages of the chapter. We know what's going to take place in the end time. And Heavenly Father, we just pray that You move in this service today. God, that You move with these people. God, we bring our petitions, our requests before Your throne, knowing, God, that Your hands are not too short. God, Your ears are not too heavy to hear our cries. In the name of Jesus, we pray for every need, every sickness, every person that demon possess. God, we pray that You loosen them, set them free in the name of Jesus, knowing that there's no distance in prayer. God, we pray whoever the request may go forth to this morning, that You move for them. God, those people over in Kenya, God, all those children, God, that were slaughtered, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that You'll be with those families. God, we just pray that You'll help us to be more mindful than we've ever been in our life. God, we commit this service into Your hands today. God, be with our young people at camp. Thank You for the report this morning. God, we love You. We pray that You'll take charge of this service. Anoint the servant, God. We'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today, we certainly want to welcome you to this service. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. I'd rather have Jesus than anything in this old world. How about you this morning? Would you praise the Lord? Let's sing about it this morning.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus.
Oh yes, we would.
Have His own land.
Oh, let's sing about it.
faithful to His dear cause.
I'd rather
have Jesus.
Oh, yes, we would.
Than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true.
This morning, our God reigns. Just as we get ready, we're going to try to work about three songs in this morning. I believe we can do it. So let's sing this little chorus just before we change the order. Brother Joel Yance, come onto the platform. Be getting ready to sing. Brother Harry's got us a song, and then the Parker girls have us a song this morning, I believe. So we're just looking forward to that. But let's sing this song this morning, because this is something you and I can absolutely rest on. Our God reigns. Do you believe it with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise. Our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. the Lord. Amen. Brother Joel, Brother Chuck, Brother Harry is going to sing Through the Fire. Some of the requests we read about this morning, a lot of folks are going through the fire. A lot of you folks are going through the fire. Now, he didn't say you wouldn't go through the fire, but I know this. There was three boys that stowed into a furnace and went through a fire, but they came out without one smell of smoke on them. He's able to do the same for you. Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Well, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Give these guys a nice hand as they sing today.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision and my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give me, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself that I surely perish. Oh, but if I trust the hand of God, He'll shield the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and your heel would not be hard to without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and take you through the fire again.
So just hold on. Our Lord will show up
and He will take you through the fire
girl called me this morning and asked me to sing this song. Sunday school out. They back there, Lance? Alright. I've not sung it a while. Me and Justin's not done it together, but I mean, he's glad he's alive. I'm glad he's alive. I'm glad he's living. The gates and doors are barred, all the windows fastened down. Spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the streets, expecting swords and torches, and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. And everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love came shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt to my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I ever had just melted into peace. He's alive, he's alive, he is alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he is alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive.
Praise the Lord. And because He's alive, I'm alive. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. About 2,000 years ago on Friday afternoon, it seemed like all hope was gone. It seemed like the devil had won. The Pharisees, the Sadducees were tickled to death. The disciples were torn to pieces. It was Friday, but Sunday was coming. On Saturday, of course, the Sabbath, they were torn to pieces. All hope was gone. The Redeemer, the Messiah. It was Saturday, but Sunday was coming. But very early on the first day of the week, when Mary and Salome and the different ones had went to buy spices, and weighed about 100 pounds. You imagine them women carrying about 100 pounds of spices. It had been Friday. It had been Saturday. But now it was Sunday. And when they get there, what they find? He is alive. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're going through a Friday, but don't worry. Sunday's coming. Amen. Or maybe you're even on Saturday, but Sunday's coming. Glory. Or maybe some of you are Sunday's here. But wherever you are, He's mindful of you, friends. Amen. We're going to ask Brother David to come and just bring what the Lord's placed on his heart. I was able to get part of the service last night coming in from South Carolina and thought he'd just done a great job. So appreciate what the Lord placed on his heart. So we just want to open our hearts today. You know what makes me so grateful about the truth is that for us that really have Easter, it's not once a year. Every day is Easter for me. It's not rabbits, it ain't eggs, it ain't a new hat or a new suit. It's a new life. And I rejoice in that every day out of the year. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what the prophet called the essence of the resurrection. It's not a day to a real believer. It's not an event. It's a person. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together. We'll ask Brother David to come out. Let me come with the needs in your heart today. We know how it is with holidays. Sickness don't go because of holidays. Trouble don't go because of holidays and all that sort of thing. So whatever you have need of today, it don't have to be an Easter need. It's just a plain old regular Sunday need that you have in your life. And Jesus is so mindful of every one of us. Aren't you glad for that? Sing to me. Let's just sing together and open our hearts to the Lord now. So we invite Brother David to come out. Whatever your need is now, just hold that before God for the entire service. You have the ability to pull Him in a direction beyond what He's even studying. Amen. Sing something.
Sing this chorus we sung last night. Sing.
Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away.
So far away, Lord.
Rising, He just freely forever. One day He's coming for a glorious day.
Than anything that humanity can give us. It's greater than what man could even buy for us. Because, Lord, it's not been bought by money. Lord, it's not been bought by silver or gold. But Lord, it was bought by something that the world could not produce. Hallelujah. But Lord, from your very own being, you projected love. Justice demanded it. Lord, and there was a projection that come, something to answer this law. And you give us a Savior. This morning, Lord, as we gather together, we come, Lord, to worship around your word. And we're asking, Lord, that you would just come and be mindful of us this morning, Lord, that you could speak to our hearts, knowing, Lord, that this is a great day, this is a great hour to be living. For your prophet said, Lord, oh, what a great resurrection that was, but what great resurrection this is. Because we believe, Lord, there's another resurrection that's taking place here in the end time. Us who was tombed up and bound up in denomination and creeds, there's come a resurrection from the dead into a brand new life, a brand new day that's made us a brand new creation. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord God, that we can see our day. We can see its message. We can see what you've done in this hour. Help us this morning, Lord, as we look into your word. Lord, anoint us, we pray. Speak to the lives of your people. May we leave out of here, Lord, Father, proclaiming the gospel that he is risen. But he's not just risen out yonder. He's risen inside of me, and he's alive. Hallelujah! Producing the word in my life, in my heart. Grant it, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. While you're standing, we'd like to turn to the book of Romans chapter 7. I'd like to look at verse 21. Romans chapter 7, verse 21. I want to speak this morning from a statement that Brother Brown makes out of the restoration of the bride tree. And I want to lay this little foundation just for a moment while we get our minds going this direction. Here is Paul, and he just went through Romans 7, how that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And he goes through and shows that this battle with his flesh that he's dealing with. And then Paul says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. And it's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then Paul says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, not that I was, but that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And what Paul's saying, who is going to deliver us from this law of sin? And then he answers it in verse 25 and said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh, the law of sin. And then he continues in chapter 8, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And the church said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I'd like to speak, the Lord to help us, on built to possess a law. Built to possess a law. Barham tells us in Restoration of the Bride Tree that there's a law. There's a law given amongst everything. You know, a fish has a law, and that fish can stand up in the water, and he has a law within him. If he'll just let go of that law that's in him, he can sink plumb down to the bottom of the sea. And it won't bother him a bit. It won't break one cell. You try to do it. That law is not in you. You can't do it, but the fish can. He deflates himself with the air in such a way there's nothing in him to... He deflates himself with the air in such a way that he can. There's nothing in him to burst open. He's made that way. He knows it. Hallelujah. He knows it. And he can enforce that law. To take him plumb to the bottom of the sea and then raise right back again. And then Barham says, there's also a law of Christ. That the law is in men. That law is in men. You can bury him in the deepest grave, in the deepest sea, in the lowest hell. There's a law of the Spirit of God that will raise him up again. Hallelujah. And a bird has a law, and a body is material. It's earthbound. It sits on the earth here. But it has a law within it that it will spread its wings. It can fly plumb out of sight. Hallelujah. That's against science, and they claim it's earthbound, gravitation to hold it here, but it can defy gravitation. He said it can go right off of it and go right on out because it has to put that law that's in it to work, and it's built to possess that law. And I'm beginning to feel religious, he says. We have a law, and that is the law of life. And the only thing you have to do, you are made and born and placed here in the body of Christ as sons and daughters of God. You don't have to nut down to the devil. Amen. We've got a law, and that law is the Holy Spirit. And the only thing you know you have to do is know how to let go and let God. So in order, is the order that Brother Brown brings it is, he tells us there's a fish that can go down so far, and there's not one cell that can be broken that can raise right back up again. But then he takes it from the fish right to the bird. And he said a bird can fly plumb out of sight. So no matter whether you would go by the grave or whether you would be alive and remain, there is a law that is in work inside of every one of us. We find in order to be, as Paul said here in the book, that we have been bound with this law. And he says we've been loosed by Jesus Christ. That whatever bound to us will have to be let go of us or answered in order for us to be able to live. Now, I want to say this. That is the very condition of mankind today. Mankind is bound up, tied up with sin. Amen. They've been caught up in sin and corruption and unbelief and immorality. And we see it everywhere that we look. And there's no getting around the fact, every one of us this morning, we was born in the same state as a drunk on the street. We was all born sinners. Every person in this building, no matter who you are, at one time you was shackled up. You was bound up underneath this law of sin and unbelief. That's right, every person here. But you realize the way that you got there, according to what Paul taught, he taught condemnation by representation. Abraham says in the Easter seal, that's in man. He can't help being what he is because he's born in that condition. Man represented in heaven as a sinner by a sinner. He's represented in heaven by a sinner. And he said, I was speaking of that some time ago. Then not just if I'm to be represented by one man's disobedience, then I don't have a chance. I said, that's true because you're born a sinner. You're represented. You're condemned to condemnation by representation. Because Paul said, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And then he says, death came by the sin that we entered in by. And death passed upon A-double-L all men, for all have sinned. Nobody in this room was born perfect. Nobody in this room was born without sin or unbelief. Well, Brother David, I never smoked. You were still a sinner. You were still born in unbelief. Amen. But then Paul is telling us, because the way that we come to this world, it has literally bound us up because of this sin. And then he brings a law into view because once the fall took place, God institutes this law and man is bound by that law. The law that he's talking about, he's referring to what God had told Adam in the book of Genesis chapter 3. He said, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day thou eatest thereof, that day thou shalt surely die. Now you didn't see the death in Adam's body for some many years later. But the day the sin took place, something inside of Adam actually changed. You couldn't see it with the natural eye, but something changed inside of Adam. Hallelujah. Well, I think about the resurrection. Something's got to change in us. I think about the body change. Something in us has got to change. So me being represented in Adam, we fell under the penalty of the law because God's word was broken. And God can't simply just overlook his word and act like his word wasn't spoken. He can't forget the law that he told Adam, the day thou eat thereof, that day. He simply can't forget about it. He must be just the way he does it. He's got to be just to his own word. He's got to be just to what he has said. Now, nothing had ever died till Adam broke that law. Nothing had ever suffered until Adam broke the law. Notice, Miriam said, until he fell, no pain, no sickness, nothing was out of order until the law was broken. But when the law got broken, chaos started.
Amen. And the law pointed out that you was a sinner. Barabbas said the law is a policeman. He can put you into jail. And that's it. That's the law's job, is to arrest. Amen. It binds. It shackles. It handcuffs. Amen. And because the word was broken, it brought an impact upon Adam's body. It changed him, and it literally made him corruptible. And now, a body that could never get sick, Adam starts coughing a little bit. A body that could never have heartache has now got heartache. A body that could never loathe in pain, now Adam could feel the pain in his body because the law of God was broken. The Bible says in perfection, he said, if there's no law, then there's no justice. If there's no law, there's no justice. Justice requires a law. And the law, when it's called on, it projects justice. By the law, no flesh is saved. And the church said, amen. The law cannot save us. The law is just the thing that puts us in jail. It has no redeeming power. The law only showed us we were born sinners, and the law condemns us. That's what the law should do. It brings condemnation to show that you, he said, to show where you made the mistake. So the law in itself cannot save you. It can only persecute. God, being holy and just, had to have a prosecution. He had to have a prosecute the sinner because he had overstepped the boundaries of grace and became a law-breaking citizen. Therefore, he's got to be dealt with. And every law has a penalty. For the penalty of transgressing God's law is death. It had to project death to the human race, and all the human race is under the penalty of the law. Now, not only did man come under the penalty of the law, but all creation come under the penalty of the law. Because, now watch, everything was identified in Adam. Glory. Every tree was identified in Adam. Every flower was identified in Adam. Hallelujah. Adam's body was taken from the dust of the earth. So when Adam became corruptible, the whole earth become corruptible. So when Adam fell, everything is under corruption. I'll prove that to you because Paul said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Watch now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which has the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Why are we groaning? We're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Understand, trees are not groaning because they're dying. Man is not groaning because he's dying. Flowers are not groaning because they're dying. They're already dead. Paul said it groans, and he didn't use this word. It travaileth in pain. The word travail speaks of a birth. Amen. Listen, they're travailing in pain because they are dead. Think about it. Eve broke the law. And when Eve broke the law, she fell underneath this secondary plan because she missed the original plan, which she should have brought for children by the spoken word. Adam had the book. Adam knew the names on the book. But when the law was broken, she should have brought forth sons by spoken word. But when the law got broken, now she's going to bring them forth by travail. For Genesis says unto the woman, Genesis 3:16, and I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Isaiah said, surely he has bore and carried our sorrow. This is the broken law of God, and now she must bring forth children in sorrow and in pain, in travail. Notice Paul said, the whole creation travaileth together in pain. So it's under the law, which means it's dead, but it's wanting to birth something. It wants to birth something. It's wanting, oh glory, It's dead. But now that it's dead, it's groaning to resurrect. It's groaning for a birth. Brother Ram said, the earth is having birth pains. And birth pains means something is coming into existence. Hallelujah. I said something is being born. It's calling for something. What's it calling for? Paul said it's calling for the manifestation of the sons of God. Then he goes on to say, for the earnest expectation of the creature. It waited for the manifestation of the sons of God, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. Glorious liberty of the children of God. So there's a deliverance from the corruption that's coming, Paul said. And Paul said it's coming by travail, which means there's going to be a birth take place. Amen. There's deliverance from the law that bound us, and it's called the manifestation of the sons of God. So everything then is hinging on the fact of manifested sons coming to their place. All of creation is hinged upon the fact that you and I are coming to the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Why? Because the sons of God, once they come to their position, it throws everything under the sun back into its place when you come to your place. Amen. Once the bride recognizes who she is, the rapture goes, everything underneath her automatically gets aligned back into its place. Until then, it groans. It travails. It aches. It has sorrow. Amen. It has suffering. And Brother Ram said, oh my. Brother Ram reads this scripture, Romans 18-19:21, the breach. He says, oh my, don't that make us old folks feel good? He said, it ought to make us all feel good. We're waiting for Paul's hour. Irenaeus, Martin, we're waiting for this hour. Brother Branham has identified the manifestation of sons with the day that we're living in right now. Not a day to come, not yesterday. He said it's right now is the hour we're waiting on. He said it ought to make us all feel good. We're waiting for this hour. We understand that this will take place at the first resurrection. Nature is groaning. We are groaning. Everything is groaning because we realize there's something that's not right. There is something that's not right. And not only they can we groan. Watch this. The only way you can groan and wait for it is because, watch this secondary law, because there's been new life that has come in here that speaks a language, if you will. It speaks of a new world that is to come. My Holy Ghost is saying there's a millennium coming. My Holy Ghost says there's a future home coming. Who's going to have it? Paul said, those who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Which means he's Abraham identified the first fruits of the Spirit as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And those who have the Holy Ghost were groaning for something. You can't groan for it unless you got it in there. Amen, somebody. Notice there's something higher than the law that bound us. There's something higher than the law of sin. And Abraham called it the law of life. Because life has come in. It's causing me to groan. You know what that, let me just encourage you. If your body's sick, let me encourage you. There's a new body that's coming. You that have the first fruits of the Spirit, you're groaning within yourself. When you groan with a headache, that proves there's a new body coming. When you get down and discouraged, that proves there's a new body that's coming. Amen. There's something higher than the law that binds me. Hallelujah. But Rem says the law of life. Now watch, Paul said, us who had the first fruits of the Spirit. Now Paul is saying, if you got the Holy Ghost, there's a new law that says something's coming. Right? But the fact is, Paul was still going to go by the way of the grave. Why? Wasn't time yet. Wasn't time yet. He preached it, he talked about it, but he planted it in seed form. But it can't take place till the harvest time. Amen, church. He said the things in this body, they're groaning in our bodies. He said, did you ever notice a tree how it struggles for life? It wants to live. And you notice an animal, how death, how it struggles. You notice a human being, everything in nature is groaning. We in ourselves are groaning. We know there's something wrong. We see from this verse that something has been lost, both to man and the earth. Both to man and the earth. Creation of all type has lost something. For we see that the inspired word, that it's groaning for some reason. Hallelujah. You don't groan unless there's a reason for it. You don't groan unless there's a reason for it. Something's lost and it's groaning. It's trying to get back. It's trying to get back to its original condition. I gotta say it. You can't groan to get back to your original position unless you already had a place there to begin with. The only reason you can groan for it is because there was election upon your soul that elected you back to the condition that you fell from. How can you be restored? How can you be redeemed? How can you be restored unless you'd already been a part of it to begin with? You can't go back unless you've been there before. That's why He gives you the Holy Ghost. That's why He fills you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, Brother David, God give me the Holy Ghost. I know I'm a son of God. God did not give you the Holy Ghost to make you a son of God. He gave you the Holy Ghost because you always was a son of God. We're trying to get back to that original condition. Watch this law. Brother Ram goes on to say, would you imagine someone falling from the earth down into a deep pit somewhere? Struggling, climbing, pulling. They must be some means. I've got to get out of this pit. They're not in their original state. They're frantically, they're screaming, they're clawing the walls. They're making a noise, they're doing some way. They're groaning. They're groaning because they want to get back to their original state. And when a person is struck with disease and aches and pains, and that pretty well sums up all of us, at one time they wasn't that way, but they're groaning now. Why? They're not right. There's something wrong. They're groaning, trying to get back to where when they had health and nature and people. As the Bible said, they're groaning. It shows there's something that's not in their ought-to-be condition. They're not in their ought-to-be condition. They have fallen from somewhere. So you and I have fallen from somewhere. We have fell from that position as manifested sons, as thoughts in the mind of God. But we're on our way back. We're on our way back this morning. And nothing can stop it from coming to pass. Your sickness can't stop it. Death can't stop it. Satan can't stop what God's doing. Every now and then through the Old Testament, God would give us a little glimpse, a small window, a synopsis of what's fixing to take place. Different ones through history has picked up on the revelation of this higher law. And Job was watching nature's testimony service one day. Hallelujah. He was watching as the seasons would come and the seasons would move. And he's watching how that, as he's seen the effects of this law upon nature, he's seen the effects not only on nature, he's seen this impacting man. And Job said, I see a flower. I see it die. I see it go into the ground and fall. And it lays there all winter long through the coldness and the darkness. It looks like there's no hope. It looks like there's no way back. He said, oh, but when the sun begins to shine and the warm days, hallelujah, begins to come back upon the scene, I see a tree fall. But in the spring, that tree comes back. That tree comes back. It comes back to what it originally was to begin with. Flower falls. But in the spring of the year, the rays from that sun starts quickening that seed. I said the conditions are met. The seed is already laying there. It ain't planted when you go to an altar. It's already laying there. And then Job begins to watch. He's seen there's a law. I see a law taking place. A tree struggles. It starts losing its leaves. It's dying. I see plants begin to struggle and they die and they go into the ground and it looks so dirty and so brown. No leaves nowhere. It's a sign of death. But just in a few days, if you wait long enough, there's a season that's coming called spring. And spring represents the resurrection. all of a sudden, oh my, after allotted number of days come, another law begins to take over. And it's not the law of death, it's the law of life. Amen. And it starts bringing back every petal that had failed, comes back. And Job said it like this. He said, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time. Thou wouldest appoint me like the tree, like the flower, appoint me a set time. And then Job says something astounding. He says, God, remember me. Remember me when you hear the groanings of those in Egypt. He said, God remembered his promise. And now Job is saying, Lord, the way you remembered Israel, the way you remembered your sons, the way you remember a tree, the way you remember a flower, remember me that day. If a man die, shall he live again? Question. All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. Glory to God. I have to wait like the tree waits. I have to wait like the flower waits. Think about it. He's saying there's something in there. Job is telling us there's something in here that's calling for the appointment of a resurrection. There's something in me that's calling for a time that I'm back to what I originally was. I'm back to my ought-to-be condition. Then Job says, I'm going to wait all my appointed days. Will I wait till my change comes? And then he says, then thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Brother, sister, God ain't got a cell phone to call your cell phone. It ain't calling your home phone. He's calling something deep within you. Something when the deep calls to the deep, you gotta have something respond to the deep that's being called. And God begins to call to the very gene, the atoms inside your body, and he speaks to them and the body starts being rearranged. That appointed time comes. Job gets a change. Job noted. There's a change coming. Remember, said Job had a revelation of the resurrection. Think about it. Now, in order for this to take place, Job, in order for the answer to the sin question to be answered, which is the law of sin and death, somebody had to come that was not born under the penalty of the law to reverse the effects that the law has on man. Amen. Now notice, if you're not born by sin and you don't have corruption in you, you cannot be held by the law that binds everybody else. Now watch, since the fall came by a woman disbelieving the word, to redeem man back, it's going to take a woman believing the word to produce the word. So when it comes to Mary, Mary and Joseph didn't have relations and produce a redeemer. That would be the human embryo of a woman. Oh, come on, church. But God took his word. The same one that created the sun, the same one that created the trees, it spoke into the womb of a woman, created both blood and, oh, hallelujah, it created the word inside of a woman. Notice the answer to the law. Because when Mary birthed Jesus, she travailed, but she birthed the Word. Amen. She groaned. She suffered. Oh, glory to God. Don't you see what it's going to take to get the change? There's going to be some groaning. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some persecution. But the Word will come to life. Now we got a woman giving birth to the original seed. And I remember that Brother Branham says, the spoken word is the original seed. So when Jesus was born, he didn't have Mary's blood. Amen, church. He didn't have Mary's blood mixed with God's blood, which made a man. Oh no, he had all the blood of God. God is so great. He was born, created a blood cell. Can't see it, can't handle it, can't feel it, but it's there. I said, it's there. It would take a microscope to be magnified so much to be able to see that blood cell. But Brother Ram said, God, He didn't just create blood cells. He created a blood cell. And then from that one cell, it began to multiply. Because it come out of Him, we come out of God. And God began to multiply the condescending. And the cells begin to multiply into this body until something within her began to come out. And she was born, she was built to produce this higher law called Christ. Now, the scripture says, wherefore by one man sin entered the world. By one man sin entered into the world. And death by sin. So death passed upon all men. This is why. For all have sinned. For unto the law, sin was in the world. But sin, where sin is not imputed, when there is no law. So if there ain't no law, then there must be grace. Amen. Because they can't be on the scene at the same time. So God, oh, think about it. So God answers the law by creating a blood cell. Amen. And now the law has no effect because it's higher than the law of sin. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by one offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men from justification of life. Amen. Amplified says life, which results in justification. For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By the obedience of one, many shall be made righteousness. Moreover, the law of entered that the offense might abound. I love this scripture right here. But where the law of sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So then grace is higher than law. Amen, somebody. The law was answered in the man, Jesus Christ. The law was met in a man, and every question that the law had was answered by the language of the Lamb that day at Calvary. Every sin, every sorrow, all unbelief was answered in the man, Jesus Christ. Now God gives us a glimpse for the Old Testament of this law. And then He gives us a glimpse of a higher law, which is Leviticus 25, speaking about the year of Jubilee, which was a law. Now think about it. The year of Jubilee simply says that a man that is bound under the law of slavery because he's sold into debt. He waits until an appointed time. Glory. And then after allotted numbers of days, of years, takes place, the man actually can celebrate Jubilee because he's not bound by the law no more. Now he's bound by a debt that he cannot pay it within himself. Amen. Because he's bound by the law, the only thing the man can do is wait till his change comes. You know what Job said? But after 49 years, there comes the Day of Atonement. It's the Day of Atonement. And he says, which is called the Year of Jubilee, during this time, a trumpet sounds. Watch God, He's projecting something. A trumpet sounds. And after the trumpet sounds, every person born under the law of slavery that had been sold into the debt can simply walk away because you're declared free by the trumpet sounding. In other words, there's a higher law that overrides that law of slavery. And when that law comes into effect, it has the ability to overpower the first law. Amen. And it sets everybody free. The debt is wiped away as though you never done it in the first place. I said, as though you never done it at all. As though you never had committed it. The debt is wiped away because of the acceptable year of the Lord. Isn't that powerful? Is that every time God talks about judgment, He called it the day of the Lord. I'll send you Elijah the prophet for the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Because when you see day of the Lord in the scripture, that means judgment. The day of the Lord represents judgment. But when it come to Jubilee, He didn't call it the day of Jubilee. He called it the year of Jubilee. Which means God's grace far outweighs His judgment. His mercy far outweighs His judgment. But Ram said, when that man that's in debt, he's out there working that field, shoveling that field. When he notice the high priest comes by. Glory. I said the high priest comes by and he begins to blow a trumpet, and the trumpet produces a language that says you're free. I said it says you're free. The year of Jubilee, it's the acceptable year of the Lord. Now notice, the Old Testament was pointing to a time when not only would just man be set free, but all mankind would be set free and all nature would be set free. Because man was sold into debt, he has to wait till the acceptable year of the Lord. Until the answer of the law comes, and when the law has an answer to it, grace comes in and it supersedes that old law. That's why he said, Jesus says, I come to fulfill the law. Now watch where I'm going. Verse said there's a law that's given amongst everything. It's a given amongst everything. There's lots of things that has a law to it. Nature has a law to it. Verse the trees has a law to it. Animals produce this law. Even water has a law to it. You know, there's some people that's scared to death of even getting the water. They get bath water, they get about that deep because they're scared to death of water. Because they know that water, watch the law. That water has a power behind it. That if you get underneath it, the law of that water has the law of death in it, and you're not born to breathe in the water, it can literally take you to the grave. But have you ever heard of a fish drowning? You can get as mad as you want as a fish, hold him down as long as you want to. You're not going to drown a fish. Come on, somebody. Because the fish was built to possess that law of death in the water. And they can live under the water because they are created. They are designed by God. Hallelujah! They're designed to live under the water. To the fish, the water holds no power because he was designed just for that water. Don't you see, church? He was built to possess that law. And he defies the power of death in that water. Because he was designed to overcome it. Then Baron goes on to say, see, your fish has a law. He can go plumb down to the bottom. It won't break one cell in his body. But if you go into the water and you can't breathe, it starts breaking cells in your body. And you start deteriorating because you're corruptible. You don't have gills. You can't turn that in water into oxygen. You cannot take it from it. But then he says, there's a law in Christ. That law, watch now. That law is in Christ. And then Brother Brim continues and he says, that law is in men. Amen. The law of the Spirit of Jesus Christ has made me free from the law. You see, it's in men. Now watch. You can bury men in the deepest grave you want. Or in the deepest sea, the lowest hell. There's a law of the Spirit of God that'll raise him right back up again. You know what he's saying? That when Jesus Christ went to hell for us sinners, he was built by God, designed by God, to actually possess, to answer the law of sin and death in his body. Jesus, listen, he wasn't pretending to be dead. Jesus died as a man. He died. He was put in a tomb. Oh, but the word was spoken over that body. Amen, church. And David had said, I'll not see my Holy One. He'll not see corruption. Amen. That body, it will not become corruptible. It will not deteriorate. He'll raise again. Early one morning, all the Jews had gathered on the Sabbath. But brother, there was something better than the Sabbath coming. I said there was something better than a Sabbath coming. There was something better than the law coming. The Jews had gathered by the law. But there was another day that was going to be the answer to the law. It was not going to be the ending of the week. It was going to be the first day of the week. The first one up from the dead. Hallelujah. At this time they had gathered Saturday, Saturday, Saturday. Oh, but Jesus had laid there 3 days. Till I hear something. Shh. I hear something. What's going on in there? Trembling. Oh no. Did somebody get in there? I knew the disciples was going to come and steal that body away. That's why he put guards at the temple door. He's afraid somebody's going to come. I don't know. They must have dug a hole in the ground. They must have come for them. Somebody's in there. Somebody's in there. And he's not dead. And the earth began to tremble, thinking, Lord, what is going on in there? Oh, think about it. as the word moved over that tomb and rolled that stone out of the way. Don't you see? The word never stops. When Jesus died, he still never stopped. Because think about it. He went all the way down to the lowest hell. He went to the deepest of sin that you and I could go to. He went to the lowest place that a man can go to. He went right down to the deepest, darkest parts of hell. Glory to God. Until a higher law moves over that tomb and the stone rolls back. And here come the word walking out of the tomb. That's why Brother Ram called. He called Luke 24 a modern event made clear by prophecy. Jesus was a modern event that was made clear by prophecy. Because Brother said, when Jesus raised from the dead, he sealed his messiahship. And I want to say, that stone did not get rolled out of the way to let Jesus out. It got rolled out of the way to let people in. To see that the message is, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Don't you see the resurrection that you and I are under when the word began to unfold and the dark clouds begin to move away from the revealing of the seven seals? The word began to open up to let you know he's still alive. He was built. Jesus was built to possess that law. The law. His body is material, but I'm talking about a bird. It's earthbound. It sits on the earth here. But it has a law within it that it spreads its wings. Watch the law come into effect. It can fly plumb out of sight. That's against science. They claim it's earthbound. Gravitation has to hold it here. But it can defy gravitation, lift itself right off of it, go right on out of here. Because it has to put that law that's in it to work. It's built to possess that law. Think about it. But your body, even though, now think about this. Paul said we're groaning. And I want to say we're groaning. Even though Paul had the Holy Ghost, he was still groaning for something higher than what he was living in. Now his soul had already crossed the chasm. His soul had already met to that place of redemption. It had already crossed the chasm. It was there, an 8-day place. Could never be lost again. It could never go to hell because it can't be lost. It's already crossed the chasm. But remember what Paul said. We're waiting for the adoption of sons to wit. Marissa, that means quicken the redemption of our bodies. Paul recognized there is something in his body that keeps him bound down. Whether you like it or not, it does you too. Amen. Now think about it. The bird can possess the law. A bird can jump off the top of a building. And if it opens its wings, it can fly away. But don't you dare try that. Don't you dare try that. You jump off a building, you're not going to pass go. You're going to go straight to the grave. We're going to wheel you up here in front of this church. Because you're not built to possess that law. Amen. Unless you get an airplane. And airplanes are designed and built to be able to possess the law of gravity to get you from one place to another. What I'm telling you is man has to have something happen to him to help him overcome the power of that old law. Amen, church. Amen. You know, science tells us, because we got a bunch around our back deck and kids are scared to death of them. We got bumblebees this time of year. They fly all over the place and they're scared to death of them. But you know, scientists say that a bumblebee is not able to fly. They said it's impossible. Because the mass of his body and the small length of his wings, they say his body is too heavy for those small wings to carry his weight. Glory to God. Can I just paraphrase a minute? What if a scientist would call that little bee into his office? And that little bee would buzz into his office and it would land over on top of the chair. And that scientist would say, I got some terrible news for you. I got some terrible news for you. We've done research, we've done study, we've looked at it, and I hate to break this to you, but you can't fly. Great. What am I going to do now?
What am I going to do? How am I going to get home? What am I going to do now? I can't fly. What in the world? I guess I have to call a taxi to get home. But wait a minute, Doc. Wait just a minute. Oh, glory. My grandpa flew. Glory. My great-grandfather flew. My mama flew. Father, more than that, my daddy flew. Come to think about it, all of my ancestors has flew. And as a matter of fact, I flew into this office. Don't you see that's the way the devil likes to do you? He'll say that you can't go into the rapture. He'll say you can't take a body change. He said you have to carry your sin. He said you have to carry your unbelief. I've got news for the devil. My brother Enoch. My brother Enoch got a body change. My brother Elijah got a body change. Hallelujah. Brother, if Enoch done it and Elijah done it and they was only foreshadowing the New Testament. Paul said, we shall not all sleep. Come on, somebody. But we will be changed. Because there's going to be a higher law that sweeps over us. One morning. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, that day he died, he said from the 6th to the 9th hour, and Brother Ralph said, one morning, maybe between 6 and 9. Glory. Think about it. We are built to possess this law. Remember, Brother Ralph said, Jesus never preached a funeral. And the reason why, he said, is because life and death cannot dwell together. One of them is going to overcome the other. But Jesus gave us a glimpse when one of his friends had died. His name? Lazarus. Friend of our Lord. And Jesus had heard that Lazarus has dead. And he kept right on into his journey. And that's where a lot of people leave the message right there. That's where a lot of people quit religion right there. Amen. Because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it themselves. They don't know what's going to take place. Oh my, if Jesus is here, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus knows what's going on. He knows what's going on with Lazarus. He knows what's going on in that tomb. He knows what death is doing. He knows what Mary is doing. He knows what Martha is doing. He knows! Finally, here comes Jesus walking down among the tombs. And Martha runs. That's a good approach. Said, oh Lord, had you only been here, had you only been here. I mean, we didn't have any faith ourselves, but if you would have been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus says, Lazarus will live. Oh, Lord, I know. And here Martha, like that scientist, got to thinking. Yeah, Lord, I know what you're talking about. I've heard this sermon before. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. I know in the last days. Oh, I know in the last days he's going to come up in the resurrection. And Jesus stops her and says, I am the resurrection. I am a higher law. The resurrection is not just an event. People are looking for an event. You must receive the person. Not just, now notice, the possessor of the law is also the enforcer of the law. Don't miss that. The possessor of it is the enforcer of it. The bird possesses the law to fly, but it has to enforce the law that's been put within him. Come on, church. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. And I can enforce that law over Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. He was so dead that the worms, which is a law, the worms had rights to that body. Come on, church. And they was, glory to God, they was fulfilling the law by partaking of that body. Had already begun to eat on him. And Brother Ram said, that Lazarus' nose had already sunk in and he was already stinking and the worms had already ate his eyeballs. And the Bible says, glory! The Bible says Jesus wept. And then it says Jesus groaned. Hallelujah. You're groaning not because it's dying. You groan because it's already dead. Which means something's about to come forth. Something's about to happen. Something's about to burst forth out of this tomb. Jesus looks down and he weeps. I just think maybe he wept because he saw the condition of what sin does to a body. And when he saw it, he groaned. This ain't the way it's supposed to be. This ain't the way it's supposed to happen. And Jesus groaned within himself. And Paul said, not only do we groan, but nature's groaning. Everything is in travail. Lazarus is dead. Jesus seen what happens to a man about that time. The Word stood over that grave. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't have to lay his hands on the sick. Amen, somebody. Jesus didn't have to go down and roll a stone out and lay his hands on him and lay put his nose on his nose, his eyes on his eyes, mouth. Oh, no. Here's the enforcer of the law. And he has the power of the spoken word that lays within him. I said he's built to possess that law. And then the possessor of that law enforced, glory, the law of that word. And he spoke the word over that dead body. You know what I've always loved about this statement? Brother Ram said, had Jesus not called Lazarus by name. And I know we quote that, and if we ain't careful, that gets common to us. But Brother Ram said, Jesus had to pronounce Lazarus' name. I'm showing you the higher law because there was so much power in his words. There's so much power over that death. There's so much of a law that's being enforced. Every person in that graveyard would have popped out of the grave. Glory to God! Death couldn't hold them, for the higher law is being possessed. Jesus just called him by name. Now watch. Jesus did not have to go down there and speak to the worm that's got Lazarus' eyeball and say, spit it out. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Spit that eyeball. He's going to need that eyeball. He don't have to wrestle with the worms. He don't have... Come on, church. All he had to say is, Lazarus, come forth. And the higher law was being enforced. Jesus was not expecting a halfway Lazarus. Jesus was not expecting a Lazarus without nose, Lazarus without eyeballs. Let me preach to you. Jesus is not expecting a halfway bride that's just halfway ready, that's just halfway serving God, just halfway a Christian. Oh no. When he speaks, the bride will come out as the adopted sons of God. We will be finished. Lazarus had already left the dimension of light, time, and matter. Maybe he had already gone and he was over in that other dimension. Maybe fellowshipping with some people who's fixing to get up. Glory to God. About that time, the power of that spoken word, it goes, listen, the possessor of that law, it carries past just the dimension of light, time, and matter. Matter of fact, it's so powerful, that word can identify things in that fourth dimension. It identified the trail of that serpent from the fifth dimension. It told us that there is loved ones that's waiting on the other side in a sixth dimension. And it showed us that the one from the seventh dimension speaks to identify all of them. Glory! And Jesus spoke. And maybe Lazarus is shaking a hand. Lazarus, come forth. Did you hear something? Did somebody call my name? Was it you, Abraham? Was it you, Ezekiel? Abraham was that? No. Lazarus come forth. The echo of his word pierced the dimensional veils. Glory to God! It pierced the dimensional veils until it pulls. Lazarus is alive. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, Lazarus was back in his body. The cells that had already begun to corrupt in his body and fall apart, within one instance of that spoken word, the cells had been changed back new again. New kidneys, new heart, new lungs, new liver, new eyes, new nose, new mouth. Don't you see? It awakened him in the tomb. And then Jesus had to speak and said, loose him and let him go. Let who go? Lazarus. Can you imagine? What must it have felt like when you come to yourself? You're talking about dimension time travelers. Just in a moment, a flash, you're in one dimension. You're pulled back to another dimension. And you're standing there. Oh, Lord. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, man? I thought I'd gotten rid of him. I thought I'd finally got rid of him. I thought this is it. I finally made it. Oh no, you're going to have to go through this all over again. Paul said, we wait for the manifestation of the sons. And he said, behold, I want to show you a mystery. I like them kind of mysteries, don't you? Not the one when a guy gets done and you're... Wasn't that good today? Wonderful. What'd he say? No idea. Not a clue. But I want to show you a mystery. Watch Paul. Think about it. Paul includes himself in it. And the reason why is Brother Ram said he had to preach the coming of the Lord in a present tense manner. You know why? He said because if Paul would have preached it for something that was going to come 2,000 years later, the people would have lost their expectation of the coming of the Lord. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed. The word change means we're going to exchange one thing for another. Oh, Lord. Notice, we shall be changed. And then he says, how? In a moment? In a twinkling of an eye? When? At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. There's going to be a people that's built to possess this law. When's it going to happen? At the last trump. Now, according to biblical history, soldiers always knew three trumpets. The first trump means get up, get packed up, fold your tent, get ready. And then the second trumpet would sound, and the second trumpet means it's time for everybody to line up. But then there's another trumpet, and Paul identified it as the last trump. And the last trump means this is marching orders. Glory to God. It's marching orders. When you hear the last trump, you're standing up, you're packed up, you're lined up, you're ready to go. And Paul said at the last trump, he said, we shall be changed. Oh, glory. Paul said in Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It means to set at liberty, to be at liberty from the dominion of sin. Our souls are not groaning because it's already crossed the chasm. It's my body that needs this change. My soul is in eternal rest. My soul can't be lost, but my body still groans. I need a body that can match my soul. Now watch. You and I have to take on glorified bodies. Now, if you have went by the way of the grave, they are built to possess the law. They are there in their theophany bodies. Right? But remember, they had to have a glorified body, and it takes a theophany body and a flesh body to come together to make a glorified body. But for you to get a glorified body, you that already obtained this flesh, you're already walking in part of it. And Paul said, we're going to be changed. So the theophany has got to come into the body. God changes it, makes it a glorified body. Now watch. You cannot become the theophany unless you had already heard from your theophany somewhere. But when are you, what age, what hour is it going to be that you hear from your theophany? I want to say it's the age, Paul said, under the last trump. For 1 Thessalonians says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It's a message. We got that part down, don't we? Then he said, there's a voice of the resurrection. Think about it. You and I come into our positions at sons and daughters of God, causes the voice of the resurrection to take place. And then you and I running out here, coming over the graveyards. Everybody come forth! Oh no! You come into your position as sons, causes the voice of the resurrection to come to pass. They without us cannot be made perfect. You and I have got to come to our positions, recognize that we've always been sons and daughters of God. We stand there recognizing we are part of the Word, and the Word is in me, and I'm built to possess this law. And it literally forces the voice to call the dead out of the graves. Hallelujah! There are certain things. Let me quit with this. Somebody pick it up a little bit later. There are certain things in nature that has certain genes within them. And it's called an alpha gene. And because they have this gene within them, glory, this DNA, this cell, within them, they have the power to transform within themselves. Paul used a word when he picked up in the scripture, and he says that we shall be changed. Let this mind be used in Christ Jesus. Be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transform comes from the Greek word metamorpho, or what we say, metamorphosis. Right? So he's telling you there's going to come a time that your heart is turned back to the faith, and the metamorphosis is going to take place in your body. And Brother Rim said, watch now, he said when Paul said that, he was thinking about a tadpole. Brother, you're talking about a powerful message. He didn't just discern the hearts of people in the pulpit, he could discern Paul's thoughts. Anyway, Brother Rim said he was talking about a tadpole. It's built... It possesses a gene inside of him that at a certain season and a certain day, glory, that gene, glory to God, that was just asleep within him. Glory! That gene that was just there within him, it had laid quiet for so much of a time. And that little tadpole would swim around the water. He'd swim back and forth. He was just as happy as he could be. Until one day, at a certain season, at a certain time, at a certain year, at a certain moment, under a certain message, that gene begins to awaken within him. The supernatural voice of the Word quickens something within you. The tadpole, his cells literally begin to materialize, forcing his body to change. Hallelujah. Before long, this creature that is so bound by this one dimension begins to mature over time. Oh, glory. And when the tadpole gets to a place of maturity, his body starts changing. That tail starts getting a little bit shorter. Legs start pushing out his back. Arms, glory! Until finally, just in an instant, a moment, he pops his head up above that water. Now one who was built to possess the dimension of water is now built to possess the dimension of the land. Understand, the gene has to be there or it cannot be changed. That's why Barron said the rapture is only for the predestinated. We don't say that to hurt people's feelings, but the gene must already be there. You must already be elected. It must already be possessed within you. It starts changing. Can you imagine, church? But Rem said, one day a sweep will come over you and I. That's what he called it, sweep. I don't like sweeping, but I like this sweep. a sweep is going to come over us. What you've heard about service after service, week after week, day in and day out, listen to the prophet saying, listen to reading Paul say it, listen to Timothy say it. But one day what you read becomes materialized in front of you. Don't you understand? You're not here just to work jobs. You're not just here to live a life and be another person on this planet. You're here to possess the gene of a body change. God needs a witness in the end time. Oh, come on, church. He needs a modern event that will be made clear by Paul's prophecy. Hallelujah! He needs somebody who's built to possess the Word. We've been waiting all these ages, all this time. There's been a restoration taking place. And finally, you and I have come back to the place we've got the life of God inside of us. Our souls crossed the chasm. Oh, but my body, my flesh is calling for a celestial home this morning. It's calling for something higher than death, higher than sickness, higher than disease. It's calling. It's calling. Built to possess a law. Let's stand on our feet this morning. Hallelujah. We shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. Paul, when he spoke it, know there's going to be somebody come to this. Somebody's going to be this. Somebody's going to come to him. Brother said, every age, every believer look for the coming of the Lord. They look for him. They look for it. They look for it. But listen, friends, there is no more ages to come. There's no more church ages after this. Amen. We've come to the finalization. Somebody in this building. Somebody in this building. Besides me, that is. I said, besides me. It's going to push some legs out one day. Legs that can't ache in pain. A body that can't get sick. It's going to start materializing within my genes. My atoms will be rearranged. Oh, brother, think about it. I'll go back from 37 to 18 that quick. Oh, God. Don't miss it, friends. The Rim said, when you recognize this very message to be eagle food, you left that other thing. You left that other thing. You didn't play with it one day and a little bit over here and this idea on this creed and then one day you're over here and then back. Oh, no. You left that other thing. You heard from your theophany. How can you hear from it unless it has a voice saying something? May not be able to swallow it. That's what this message is to me. It's my celestial body calling me back to what I was supposed to always be. Groaning. Groaning. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, one day we'll never have to preach about it again. Lord, one Easter, one day will be our last Easter. I trust it's this one. Lord, I don't have plans for 50 years from now or 60. Lord, I trust we're looking for you every moment of every day. Yes, we'll keep planting our taters. Yes, we'll keep going on. We understand those things. But Lord, my body is looking for a change. I'm built to believe this message. I'm built to stand on this word. I'm built to possess it, Lord. Oh, God! I need your quickening power to enforce that which is within me. May it come out, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, help us to realize that if our souls has crossed that chasm, it's groaning for it this morning. When we wake up in the mornings, we got new aches, new pains, and that we didn't have the day before. That's only testifying to us. I'll wait all of my appointed days. Hallelujah. When we groan with headaches, it's only telling us there's coming a day you'll never groan with another headache again. Lord Jesus, there's coming millennium reign. There's coming a future home. Help us, I pray, Lord. May we be ready. May we be watching. May we be standing, dear God, clothed in this word. Dress, Lord. Oh, Father, help us to put it on this morning. Oh God, when Paul likened it, he likened it to clothes, to put on, to put on. Lord, help us May we be ready, I ask, to exchange one thing for another. I'm going to exchange a body that gets sick. I'm going to exchange a body that can be attacked by disease. Oh, glory. I'm going to exchange it for one that will never know that ever again. Oh, God, help us to realize how important it is. We hear about preaching so much around the message. Come to your position. Recognize your position. See your position. Don't we see what it is? When we come to that place, it forces all of creation. Hallelujah! It forces everything back to its original condition. It's hinging on the bride of Jesus Christ this morning. Oh God, make it more than a Bible story. Make it more than something that we read as children. Make it a reality to us, I pray. Oh God, grant it, I ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They're listening to the song, He's in the House, This Has to Flee. Amen. Ain't His Word wonderful? Oh, praise be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, glory. Don't you realize that's what happened to this little girl? A higher law came into effect.
Pray. Little girl was lying there.
Just like me.
People all were weeping.
Glory to God.
They just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping. As He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, He's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is life. Where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise His name. Praise His name. He's in the house. We were like that little girl, dead in all our sins. Jesus touched this heart of mine. He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. Jesus touched this heart of mine, gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
not just say he's in this house, but he's in this house. Hallelujah. We've got a baptism today if they'll come prepare for that. Can you imagine here before long, the robins, the blue jays, the cardinals, the sparrows, all kinds of little birds, they'll start making their nest. For the law of nature, they'll join together, the male, the female. The little eggs will lay there and lay there. The mother will begin to create the heat. Something will be transformed inside the egg. Some of them building tall buildings, some the barn swallows and something pretty tall. That little egg hatches open, the little bird lays there. He has hardly no feathers, naked many of them when they're born, when they come out. And there they lay and they shiver in the cool. They begin to grow and they eat and they grow and they eat and they grow. Before long, they come to a spot and they're standing up on the ledge of that barn. And their mother out there flying around, sailing. And their father. And that mother will set right on, certain species of them will come right to the very edge of a cliff or the roof of a barn, whatever she is, and she'll just sit there and flutter her wings. Now, that little bird is born with the ability to fly, but he's never possessed that law yet. All he's known is nest life. And that's a comfort zone. Don't tell me if you wasn't a bird, you'd hang around that nest. That's all you've ever known. But that mother hangs out there and you imagine them little birdies sitting there and say, that looks so scary. Surely mama don't think I could do that. But they're born to possess that law. Oh, glory to God. I was thinking about it a while ago and he was talking about it, about that bumblebee. If I flew down here as a thought, it's only fitting that I fly back. Oh, children, it won't be long. We'll be stepping up to the edge of the nest. But Papa will be saying, come. You can do it. You were born to possess this law. And all of a sudden, it'll go, and we'll be changed. Not only will the old become new, but some of these little children we're baptizing, some of us 50-year-olds have become 18, some of the 8-year-olds will become 18. Some of us are going to go backwards, they're going to go forward. The same God that can rewind can fast forward. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, friend, if you don't have this in you today, why would you want to leave until you get it? You must accept this life giver. And he starts this law working in your body, down in your soul. Praise God. But Brother Donnie, what if we die? Tell me about it. I've buried many of them since I've been here. They're laying over here. They're laying in Kingsport. They're laying all over this place. I forget how many. Sister Naomi's kept a record of how many funerals I've done since I've been here. It's unbelievable. But are they gone? No. They're gone to another dimension, that's all. But they're waiting. But they will possess that law. That's why Jesus could stand there and say, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Why? He possessed that law.
This is Miss Emma Elizabeth Parker. It's my oldest daughter. She gave her heart to the Lord a little while ago, and now she's come to take the next step in a Christian walk. So we're going to baptize her today in the name of Jesus. Bow your heads with me just a second. Lord Jesus, how I thank you, dear God, for my little girl's heart. I thank you for her little life. Father, you are the one who created her. You know all of her. little things about her that she's going to have to work on now. You know, all the things it's going to take to make her to be the right Christian girl and the right Christian woman that you want her to be. So I pray, dear Lord, the work that you've begun, may we just walk through this, and if she gets out of this water, let her yield to you that you might finish the work just so completely in her life that's going to take her all the way to that resurrection. Grant it, we ask, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ. My little Emma, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord willing, there'll be a black helicopter landing in here on Wednesday night. It won't be here for long. Just be landing in, and you can be seated for one moment, and then before you know it, it'll be gone. That black helicopter will be flying out again. So, Brother Jewel, in other words, in case y'all didn't know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it together as we go. Well, we shall be changed. Oh, we shall be changed. Changed from this mortal to immortality in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, I said we shall be changed. We shall be changed. Changed from this mortal to immortality in the twinkling of an eye. God bless you, saints, for the fear of God. Well, I will be changed. Yes, I will be changed. I'm going to be changed from this mortal to immortality. It's the truth.